SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Hour 3 In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. I'm joined, as always, by Casey Bubba, at BDNtric on the Twitter machine for him. And Bubba got me good. He got me good. There's a certain photograph that during quarantine time, it started circling around the internet. So if it's going to be like the kids say, Bubba, if you know, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is a picture that friends have played pranks on each other with all the time. Bubba, for whatever reason, I don't usually let people get me. He's got me like six times on this dumb picture. Today, he sends me a tweet that says, nurse from New York falls into coma after taking the vaccine. And I was like, but this is a Post article, right? Like they usually make a bunch of stuff up. I don't know if that's true. I know that the Post has crazy headlines. And he says, well, actually, it's a really crazy story. You should click on the link and read it. So I do. Bam. It's the picture again. What is it about me? I mean, I'm just a sucker as far as you're concerned. And I'm usually not a sucker, Bubba. You continue to keep getting me with the same picture. I'll tell you about a similar bit I had with the Welsh. But I mean, you said you almost had to pull over. You were laughing so hard at my reaction, which I cannot repeat on the radio. So you got me good, man.
Yeah, it was worth every bit of it. And I was worried because it'd been hours and I hadn't heard from you. And usually I get a reaction quickly. And then you said you hadn't opened the article yet because you thought it was a phony article, which it was. But I had to mention, you know, it's a very good article. You should read about it because, you know, it could be some side effects from the vaccine you might want to check out. And, you know, honestly, if those were the side effects, I'd consider maybe taking the vaccine.
I would take it twice.
I'm just saying. But it's probably the best thing, one of the best things that came out of a horrible 2020 of a quarantine. The fact this meme is still running strong into the end of December, it's pretty good.
The one I used to get the Welsh on was Matt Duffy's cat. His big fat ass cat named Skeeter, because I had a cat named Skeeter. So I used to get him with that. I'd be like, did you see this on Twitter? He was like, no. I'm like, click on that picture. He's like, if this is another cat, it's another cat. Of course it is. But I got him like six, seven times before he wised up. So we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little baseball before we get into Thursday night game and then Bubba's bets. So stick with us In This League on the Sports Grid. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid, Hour 3, which means I'm Scott Bogman, joined by Casey Bubba at BDNtric on the Twitter. He's got a lot going on, including the Fantasy Black Book just came out by our friendo, Joe Pizzapia. And tell everybody where they can get the Black Book, where they can find all your great work.
Yeah, it should be on Amazon any day. Joe's having some fun with those guys right now. It's supposed to be out on the 15th. It's literally any day it'll pop out there for paperback.
You can get it on
Kindle right now. You can download it right now. But if you want it in your hands with the fancy paper he puts it on so you can write on it and all that good stuff, any day you can order that. So that's the best way I can say that. I sound like a horrible beat reporter. He's going to sign any day. But it is really coming out any day. And then for the rest of my work, just check me out on Twitter at BDNtric. I write season-long and DFS at rotoballer.com, Fantasy Sports Degens. I have the Bench with Bubba podcast cranking out 2021 fantasy baseball stuff right now. And then all kinds of other goodies. But if you follow me on Twitter, you'll get it there. And I won't meme you guys to death like I meme Bob Bogman. So we're good there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't think you get sued if you mean regular people like that. So
I can't post that there. It's definitely not safe for work.
Yeah. I mean, lucky I'm such a nice guy over here. No, of course.
You look at worse things every night.
Every night. So, by the way, the great hub purge of 2020.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
But upsetting to me. I had like so many things saved that are now gone. So
I'm gonna regret asking this. How many new things have you saved now?
I think only one. I haven't had a lot of time to go back and do the look. I'm looking forward to doing new research, of course. You know? Everyone loves to go in on that deep dive. What happened? Let's get some of this work done in here. I mean, this is making no sense to have people. But yeah. Let's talk a little baseball here. Your Giants, there's been a lack of moves, by the way. There's not a lot going on. I mean, these are the headlines that I have. Desclafani signed with your Giants. I figured we'd talk to you about that. The Rockies want the Mets to pursue Nolan Arenado. Okay. Manny Ramirez is going to play in Australia, and MLB has told managers to expect the season to start on time. So, like you said last week, and I think the week before as well, you don't expect a lot of moves to be made until probably middle of January, late January. And then the result is that we're getting most of the free agent signing in early February. Are you sticking with that timeline? Because it's more than proving you right now.
Yeah, I don't see anything crazy happen. You're going to get moved here or there. You might get one big name here or there. But the majority of what we have, because if you go to like Roster Resource, they have their free agent tracker. There's a lot of free agents out there, a lot of good free agents out there. So it's going to take a while for the group to sign. February, it'll be a big chunk of that. That's when it's going to happen. Spring training is going to fire up, hopefully. You know, you mentioned that the owners are saying be ready for the start of the season on time. They've also come out and said recently maybe it won't start till May. So they're already starting their back and forth gibberish. So we'll see what happens.
Now, let's talk about Desclafani to the Giants. Not the biggest signing, but a pretty decent one for the Giants. Cheap deal, too. Do you like this deal for him?
Yeah, it's what Farhan does. You know, I was watching MLB Tonight a couple days ago, and the Giants have five contracts, I believe, that have a year left on them. So after the season, they'll be gone for over $100 million combined. So, and then they have like Longo's.
That's got to be Buster's. Got to be one of those, right?
Buster, Belt, Crawford, and a couple others. Like it's bad. Oh, Cueto and one other. So and Gausman. So they're going to have a lot of money freed up. So you get a guy like Desclafani. He's cheap. He's young. He's shown some really good positives at times. Last year, the strikeout rate dropped a bit, but he is better than that. Going to a nice ballpark is going to help him a lot because he's a heavier fly ball pitcher than most. So getting on a Great American Small Park will be very, very good as well. But the biggest thing is, you know, if he puts a decent run together in a good ballpark, you can deal him at the deadline, get a couple pieces there. So I like it a lot. I think there's a lot of upside with Desclafani. I know going into last season, some very smart people when it comes to pitching were writing articles about the pitch mix changes he's slowly been making in Cincinnati with Bauer. Same things we saw with Gausman, who came to the Giants this last year and pitched well. So I'm a big fan of it. It's not like a super sexy move. Is he going to be a Cy Young winner? No, but he's going to be the three or the four in the rotation. He's going to get you six innings a start most of the time, and he shouldn't get shelled like too often out there. So I think there's a lot to like about it.
All right. Yeah. I mean, a good move. Now, the Mets wanting or the Rockies wanting the Mets to pursue Nolan Arenado seems like the weirdest headline I've ever read. I know, of course, you would want every team to be pursuing all of your players. Like, so it makes sense to me. It's kind of an easy headline to write. Like, you know, I would love it if Kate Upton was pursuing me. She is not. So it's not an option for me. But I don't know. Maybe, you know, you got an enthusiastic new owner with the Mets, maybe looking to make a splash move. He's excited that he owns the team, wants to get them back real, real quick. I got to think that that's where the enthusiasm is. And that's where they want it, where this is coming from.
They probably started the conversations with the previous regime when they saw guys like Kelenic and stuff go to Seattle thinking, oh, man, we can get all kinds of goodies for Arenado. But, yeah, I think the biggest part is you see the real life Bobby Axelrod over there in New York who wants to spend money and get flashy new toys. It's like, hey, we really need to get rid of this contract. Anything you guys can do for us, because we know you have a hole in the infield. So help a brother out. Even though if I'm a Mets fan, I'd be so angry if they go and get Arenado and not Lindor. Like, figure it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get Lindor first. If you can get Arenado after that, then fine. Icing on the cake. That's great and everything, but go get Lindor first. If that is, that's got to be priority number one, right?
It better be.
Yeah, it better be. Now, Manny Ramirez playing in Australia, Bubba. I mean, did you see the other day where
in Boston?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some guy in Boston was wearing a Red Sox hat. Manny Ramirez tapped him on the shoulder and went, "Hey, man, who's your favorite player?" And the guy did not recognize Manny. So it's probably just a dude wearing a hat. He probably
that's some dude that walked into Lids and goes, "Hey, I got my free hat after buying 10 of them. Give me the one with the B on it because my name's Brian."
Right.
And he doesn't be like, oh, if any real Red Sox fan would have witnessed that in Boston, he probably would have got knocked out.
Now, if I remember, you're right about that too. If I remember this video, did Manny like storm off like a pouty child after that?
No, I think he ordered his coffee or whatever right after, but he had like a smirk on his face, like, really? Like, really? Like, I have the dreads and everything. Like, really? Steroids are still popping out of my face. You can't see this? It's crazy. Yeah.
So he's playing in Australia. I mean, this is clearly just a guy that's holding on too long, right?
Yeah, there must be like the Bartolo syndrome where he's got eight families we don't know about and he needs to keep making money. That's the only thing I can think of. And I'll give him this much, though. Going to Australia to play is awesome because in the world we live in right now, they're living. Like, they are living everything you could think of. They showed pictures of the opening night the other day, full stadiums, no masks, like, game on, folks. It's beautiful. So, and they're not getting cases, so they deserve to live. And yeah, so that I want to clarify that before people think I'm crazy. But
right.
So yeah, no, he should. I literally told someone the other day, if I had all the money in the world, I'd go quarantine for 14 days and then live in Australia until this thing's over. Like, let's just go.
Yeah, I mean, it's expensive to go to Australia. Yeah. Like, you either have to have a ticket to leave or $200,000 in your bank. If you want it, like, that was the rule. I mean, that's probably not the rule anymore. It was probably some made up rule because I'm not smart and not a world traveler, but I don't know. Do you think we're going to get the season to start on time, Bub?
I'm usually the optimistic one. I don't see the owners doing it unless they can get enough fans in the stands. And I don't think that'll happen until like May or so. And that's where the money comes into play. It's either that or they make an early agreement because the players want to get paid. So that's where the DH comes into play and all that stuff. So the only way it starts on time is there's a lot of negotiations that they kind of scratch each other's back. And we know how well that works.
How about the DH?
I still think it's happening. I know people are wishy-washy on it. I think it's happening because no matter when the season starts, the owners want the extended playoffs. They want that. And the only way that's going to happen this year before the bargaining agreement will be stuff like the DH, and they want it this year. They don't want to wait another year. They saw how much money they made this last year. They want to do it again.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to be talking about that Thursday night football game. It was a great one this week, the Raiders and the Chargers. It was a lot of fun. We are also going to be talking a little other football stuff, but that is going to be the main part of it. So stick with us. We'll be right back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In This League.
Talk about www.com, you made it go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Hour 3 In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. We're also on the Minor 1090 in San Diego. So much fun. I hope you guys are enjoying your holiday season. If you would, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. We got all kinds of stuff for you. We did just stream the last Thursday night football game of the year. I didn't even get to finish the very end of it because it went into overtime. It was so long. I had stuff to record, But this was a fun game, Bubba. It was the Chargers winning 30-27 in overtime over the Vegas Raiders. We had some injury stuff happen early with Derek Carr. But I know you were in particular upset. The Chargers had a bunch of weird stuff going on. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams were not supposed to play, but then it's about 2 hours before kickoff, they announced that they're both going to play, but they're going to be on a snap count. And at that point, here come the messages to me, you know, from GroupMe. Should I start Keenan Allen? Should I start Keenan Allen? I said no. I also said no to Mike Williams. I didn't want any part of him. I don't like when guys have a snap count, especially when they're on Thursday night. So
and they have nothing to play for.
Right, exactly. So, you know, snap count makes me not want to play these guys at all because it's gamesmanship of some type. That's what we know. It's either gamesmanship of these guys are on a snap count. Well, look, he looked good. He felt good. So we gave him all of his normal snaps. Or, we wanted them to prepare for him. So we said snap count. He played 5 snaps. So, like, there's very, very rarely a, yeah, he played, 60% of the snaps that he normally plays. It always to me seems to be one or the other when you talk about specifically when you get those big time skill position players that are paid a bunch of money. You know, those guys are going to get rested. So, but you had, was it Eckler shares?
It was more of Eckler and DFS showdown shares.
Yeah. So, he was limited and they yanked him at the goal line twice. Yeah. They did it once early in the game, gave Kalen Ballage his score, which makes me laugh because I don't have Austin Eckler. So I apologize, Bubba, but he had 4 carries for 14 yards and 1 score, no catches. He also lost a fumble. Or no, that was Herbert. Excuse me. 8 carries for Ballage. For 11 yards and 1.4 yards per carry. Mainly it was because he got goal line work. Mm-hmm. But then the other time where they Eckler was in the game, he blocked for Herbert on one play to get into the end zone. Herbert didn't make it. They yanked him. They put Ballage in. Then Herbert fumbled going into the end zone, pick it up again, run it again. Herbert goes in the third time. They still don't go to Eckler. He scores the game winner and they win. So, how many leagues are you alive in still as far as season long goes?
Well, 2. I played in, I think, 4 or 5 season long leagues. One of them's my home league. We play all 16 weeks, and then the top 6 teams, like part of the league fees goes to the overall, and part of it goes to we redraft playoff rosters. Okay. So we do it that way. But then the one with playoffs, I just looked. I forgot I had Eckler going on that one. So, yeah. You got a whole whopping 9.9 points. Because he could have had 12 more on there. That would have been beautiful. But no, can't have nice things. So, yeah, it was just frustrating, very frustrating for many reasons in that game. It was a fun game, like you said. It wasn't like Monday night's game, but it was definitely a fun one. And Herbert's darn good. I saw somebody tweeted out after the game. The Chargers have won back-to-back games by 3 points, games they should have won by like 4 scores. But
Herbert still keeps missing field goals.
He's missed 11 field goals now. But
is he still the kicker? I mean, come on.
Because Anthony Lynn. And that's where the joke comes in. Because they said Herbert's doing everything in his power to make us forget Anthony Lynn is as bad as he is.
Yeah. Look, Anthony Lynn, I think he's a great guy. Yeah.
He's like Bill O'Brien.
Coach. Yeah, yeah. Great guy, Bill O'Brien is a fantastic person. You know, yes. Not a great coach. So, you know, and look. When it's all over, you'd rather be a good person. So we'll give those guys that at least. You know, Adam Gase, jury's out. I don't know him personally. So I'm sure he's fine. So he's a real bad coach though. In this game, Herbert, my cousin hit me up. Should I start Goff or Herbert before this game? I said, well, Herbert's missing his 2 top targets most likely, or he's going to play very limited. His running back's a little banged up. Raiders defense is really hurt. And not good, but I think I would still go with Goff against the Jets. So Goff's got to put up better numbers than Herbert. I'm going to hear it from my cousin for a year here. So Herbert, 22-32, 314, 2 touchdowns, ran 4 times for 14 yards and a score. So 3 scores for him. Eckler did have some garbage time at the end. So he did a little, 13 rushes for 60 yards, 27 was his long, 4 catches for 19. So not completely dead in a PPR league. He at least put you up over 10 points in that, but probably not enough to win. Kalen Ballage, like I said, 8 for 11 in a score. Josh Kelly only had 2. Jalen Guyton, the North Texas product, was the leader as far as yards go for the Chargers, 4 for 91. Hunter Henry had 5 for 65 in a score. I was started him in a league, so like that. Tyron Johnson, 3 for 61 in a touchdown. KJ Hill, 3 for 39. Mike Williams, 2 for 22. And all the way down here at the bottom, Keenan Allen, 1 for 17, also took a pitch for negative 1 yard. So PPR, he got you 2.6. Standard, he got you 1.6.
Ouch. Not playoffs, baby. Playoffs. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, and you've been riding that guy all the way to the championship or semifinals right now. Also, Derek Carr got hurt, went out with the groin strain. He was 3 for 5 for 53 yards. Marcus Mariota came in, didn't play terrible either. 17 of 28, 226 yards, a touchdown and a pick. The pick, I'm not putting on him. I thought Aikman wanted to put it on him. I thought it was a decent throw, but Zay Jones tried to one-hand it, and it went right into a defender's hand. So I didn't like him blaming that one on Mariota. And this is the big part. Mariota, 9 rushes for 88 and a touchdown. So big with his legs, too, putting up them Jalen Hurts numbers. Josh Jacobs had 26 carries, had fewer yards than Mariota for 76 yards and a touchdown. Luckily, I was going up against him. He did have 3 catches for 38, so still a decent day for Jacobs. But
he put up 20 plus points in a PPR league.
Right, exactly. But I had Hunter Henry. So I think getting out of this game, I had Henry and Carlson being up a couple points, I thought was big for me. Then, you know, Booker only had 3 rushes. On the receiving side, huge Darren Waller game. 12 targets, 9 catches, 150 yards, and a touchdown. Is he number 2? Is he your tight end 2 next year?
Oh, yeah, he was my tight end 2 going into this year. I had him go last year, and I got him late, and I was in heaven with him. I couldn't afford to pay the price for him this year because he just went so early, but he's worth it. I have to keep telling myself, Kelsey is the Wallers. They're wide receiver ones. Don't draft them. Don't worry about him because he is this good. And you mentioned Carr. Carr looked good before he went out. That's just a freakish thing. Like he could have had a big game there too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Carr would have had a huge game, and he would have got the ball more to Nelson Aguilar, who I loved as a spot start in this game. Obviously, didn't think Carr was going to get hurt.
Still 8 targets.
8 targets, 4 catches, 49 yards. So not empty, but not great for him. Foster Moreau, 1 for 22. Zay Jones, 1 for 9. So not the greatest game. But, I mean, Herbert is Herbert's going to be rookie of the year, right, still? Even though he's had a couple rough games. This one was better. But it's almost like as soon as he cut his hair, he started having some bad games. So I don't like that superstitious stuff, but seemed to be one of them.
He should get rookie of the year. I don't see why he would. The only real competition I guess he has is potentially Justin Jefferson from Minnesota, who's been amazing. And I wouldn't say Jonathan Taylor can get it, but if he has like 3 more weeks like he had last week, it'll get interesting. I don't think it's got to be Herbert, though.
Yeah, it's got to be Herbert. I mean, Chase Claypool has hit the rookie wall. So, and the Steelers
hit the season wall.
Oh, like, absolutely. They are like, backing into the playoffs. Like, I'm going to be excited for a playoff game, but if they play the last 3 weeks like they have the last 2, I'm not going to be nearly as excited that they're going to get blown out.
I will sign up for Patreon to watch that live video feed.
Yeah, right here. You can watch this feed right here. Right here you can watch. But yeah, it's going to be rough here. Okay, so tell me about this Monday night game and Lamar leaving and coming back in. There's the pooping conspiracy theory that seems to be out there. Everyone thinks that Lamar Jackson went to go take a dump or whatever, but you could see the Band-Aid on the non-dominant arm that from him getting an IV because he was cramping, and he even said, "I wasn't pulling a Paul Pierce." By the way, how much would you love to be Paul Pierce? Scenario. I wasn't pulling a Paul Pierce. I was cramping up. They gave him that. He came in like Superman. I thought Steve Levy did a great job of describing the action there. So it was a great game. Also a little rough at the end, you know, to show all those old Browns fans crying and stuff and tearing up. I don't like seeing that, man.
It was depressing. It was a great game, though. I was like, the fourth quarter was a great game. It was awesome, back and forth, little defense, but it wasn't like horrible defense. It was actually good plays, good football. The Lamar thing was funny because he was waddling to the locker room like he was clenching his butt cheeks, But
he's cramping, like he had a hamstring.
I'm just trying to figure out how he's cramping when it's so cold out there. But I guess they're saying when he had COVID, he actually had some symptoms where all he was doing was sleeping in bed. He wasn't like staying loose and exercising. So his body was still kind of bouncing back, I guess. I don't know. But I thought it was a great game. The biggest takeaway I have from that is A, yes, entertaining. B, the Browns are actually potentially a good football team. Like not a championship, going to win a championship team, but they could have some fun, at least make it entertaining in the playoffs, where in the past they'd be on that 10 a.m. Saturday game against Houston and we'd see like no one would care. That's where they would be.
Yeah, and look, I obviously hope they fade into obscurity again, but I would rather have them win than the Ravens. So Steelers needed this game to clinch a playoff spot. So that's
real quick before we go to break. The part that sucked the most is I had Cleveland plus +3 the entire time and the way that ended. So that's what sucked the most.
Yeah. I heard there was some paybacks on that though, but we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to ignore Bubba's picks from last week.
Yes, please.
And we're going to move forward into this week. We'll be right back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Stick with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In This League.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITLArmy, where we have so much fun. If you enjoy what the Welsh and I do, we had a chemically altered Deckard Balls Christmas special. So that is, you can go back and watch that on our Patreon right now. But we do live streams for most Monday Night Football games. I will not be doing this Monday because my Steelers play, and I cannot pay attention to what is going on when the Steelers are playing. So I get too angry. I say too many hurtful things. You know, I've never had the cops called on me, surprisingly, even though I've lived in apartments for a while. So that has never happened. But I mean, my neighbors now, have you seen the commercial where I think it's a Geico commercial where they're talking about their neighbors and you can see like their lights moving and stuff. And it's a bunch of people tap dancing and like eating spaghetti. And then they're tap dancing while they're brushing their teeth. That's my neighbors. That's my upstairs neighbors. That's where they got the idea, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, it's going to be so much fun. You guys can check that out. Please, if you would. Basketball coming up. What do you think of Fat James Harden, by the way?
Well, I can't throw the first stone, but I'm not a professional athlete either, so get your ass together.
Yeah, I like his excuse too. I was training in Atlanta and Vegas. Where are you training? Were you training for the hot dog eating contest or what's happening?
You know what I do like though is he said he's an anomaly because they showed like the pictures where he's in shape and when he's not in shape and everything. So now other people are doing it. If you follow Bert Kreischer on Instagram or Twitter, go look at his. It's hilarious. Absolutely. Like I love Bert. Like the dude is so funny and he doesn't care because he knows he's big and he rolls with it. And I respect that. And he had fun with it. It was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I like the one where they put Mark Henry in the
the
Harden jersey. It's that Harden at photo day. So hilarious. But you and I cannot cast the first stone there at all. But looking at this slate, a couple Saturday games might be going on right now as you listen to this. So we'll just throw them out just in case this is airing before. Buffalo at Denver. Buffalo, a 6.5-point favorite. 50 is the line on that one. How do you like that one?
I'll take Buffalo on the under. I think that Denver can't move the ball too much against that defense, and they have some banged up players as well. Buffalo, I believe in who they are. So I don't like taking a touchdown favorite on the road, but give me Buffalo on the under.
Lock step. I also have Buffalo on the under, and so does Welsh. Carolina at Green Bay. Green Bay, 8.5-point favorite. 51.5 is the spread in that one.
People have listened to me long enough. It's Green Bay and the over in this one. I guess it's just Green Bay rolls by double digits.
easy peasy once again. Lockstep, all three of us, Green Bay in the over. So place your bets on Carolina right now. Chicago at Minnesota. Minnesota 3.5-point home favorite. 46.5 is the over on this game. Getting a little tougher moving down here.
Yeah, tough slate overall on Sunday. Both these teams want to run the ball. They haven't run the ball well. We know they can throw it when they have to. Defenses are kind of meh. I'm still going with Minnesota at home in this game because I'm still not a believer in Trubisky full-time. He's been good but not good enough. So give me Minnesota, but give me the under in this one. I think it's kind of a slow-and-go game, maybe like a 27-21 type game. That would be the over, 24-21. No, 24-20.
You don't want to go first thought, best thought? You don't want to switch it up to the over?
Nope, go Minnesota in the under.
Okay, all right. You and Welsh, lockstep. I am Chicago in the over because Trubisky has been playing better.
He's been very well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to bet a lot of money on this one, but I like Trubisky long-term, and I don't love him long-term. I wouldn't want the Steelers to go get him if Ben retires or anything, but I think he can have a Ryan Tannehill-like career.
Would you rather have Trubisky or Mariota?
Trubisky. I've seen enough of Mariota, but they're very similar. I'm not all the way out on Mariota either. So, you know, no one is a complete polished product when they come into the NFL. Even a guy like Trevor Lawrence, even a guy like Andrew Luck, these guys are going to make it work, but they still got growing to do. So it's not surprising when I see someone stumble out the gate, especially when they're given what the Bears have on offense. You know, it should be better now with Allen Robinson and Dave Montgomery, but I get it. Detroit at Tennessee, no over-under on this game because we're still waiting on word to see what is going to happen with Matt Stafford. I expect him not to play in this game, and I think the line says that too. Tennessee is a 10.5-point home favorite. How do you see that one going?
Yeah, the line says it's a Chase Daniels game, so he has to earn a little bit of that money instead of holding a clipboard this week. But he can game manage. He can slow this game down. Swift is back. He's been running well. He can run on Tennessee. I got Detroit covering this game, plus 10.5.
All right, I'm gonna take Tennessee because they're fighting for a playoff spot in Detroit. I feel like Detroit's packing it in, man. Like, you know, they fired their coach. They didn't look good last week. I think they're packing it in a little bit. So I'm gonna take Tennessee. No over under on that one. How about this one? And this is 3 weeks in a row. I feel like the Colts should be favored by more points. They are 7-point home favorites against Houston. 51 is the over. I believe that is it's the second highest over of the week. Kansas City, New Orleans, 51.5 is the highest, but Colts -7, 51. How do you see that one going?
I'm going to take Houston in this one. I don't love it, but I'm going to take Houston +7, a touchdown divisional game. I still like Deshaun Watson a lot. Brandon Cooks is supposed to be back. That'll make a big difference if he's not, but and David Johnson actually is supposed to be back from the COVID list. Then that'll help as well. So give me Houston +7 and give me the over because both these teams will put up some points.
Both got the over. I'm taking Indy. 3 weeks in a row they paid off for me, so I'm sticking with them. They're rolling downhill right now, and Houston cannot stop the run. Jonathan Taylor, huge DFS day. Really looking forward to him. Baltimore, 13.5-point favorites. 47.5 is the over against Jacksonville. How do you see that one going, Bubba?
Minshew Mania +13.5. He's going to find a way. He always finds a way to keep it close enough. Like it's just
life.
Finds
a way.
It finds a way. So I'll give Minshew Mania +13.5, and I will take the under in this game.
We're lockstep on the over-under. I'm also taking the under, but I'm taking Baltimore. I think Jacksonville, another team that's holding up shop. You know, they've gone to Minshew, to Luton, to Glennon, and back to Minshew. All they do is run the ball. Robinson is facing some big time stacks. Baltimore needs to win to keep in the playoff race here. So I'm taking Baltimore. I hate those big lines, so I don't like them. Yeah. This game I'm running away from. I don't know what to expect here. New England at Miami at New England. Miami, a 1.5-point road favorite. 41.5 is the over. How do you see your Dolphins and the Pats playing?
Not to mention the weather up in the Northeast these days. Absolutely beautiful, beautiful weather up there. I'm taking Miami. Like, I'm with you. I would not bet this game at all. I'm taking Miami because I think they win. Like, I really think they win this game. Yeah. I'm taking Miami -1.5. And I'm going to take the over 41.5 because I see at least some offense in this game. But the weather's brutal. It's like, I don't think it's supposed to be blizzarding then. Like, that's supposed to be done.
No. I think the blizzard is done already. So
it's done already. Because all I see is pictures on Twitter all day, every day about you know, 6 feet, 8 feet. So if it's done, and you know that field's heated anyways, so I'm not worried about that. Give me Miami, give me the over.
Yeah. By the way, I think I said it wrong. It's New England at Miami. So it's 79 degrees. And
oh, so we're going, Miami at home. Yeah, give me Miami, give me the over this one.
I don't know why I had that incorrect.
That's what I thought. I was like, I was writing something up for Lynn Bowden.
I even started to say it the wrong way. So, so my bad. New England at Miami, 79 and sunny or in cloudy. So you got to love Miami in that type of weather. How about San Francisco at Dallas? San Francisco, 3-point road favorite, 45.5.
It just feels like a weird one. Give me Dallas plus 3 at home in this one. A banged up Niners team just keeps struggling along. So give me Dallas and give me the what did I write down? Give me the under in this one. I think both teams want to run the ball a lot.
I got Dallas in the over, but we're locked up on Dallas. I like that. This game, another weird one. Seattle at Washington. Seattle, a 5.5-point road favorite. 44.5 is the over.
Looks like Alex Smith might actually play, and that's huge. If it's Haskins, I'm terrified. I wouldn't make this play if it's Haskins, but if it's Alex Smith, give me Washington plus 5.5 and give me the over in this one.
Hey, you know what? It's like you were listening to the last hour with me and Welsh. I said the exact same thing. I said if Haskins is in there, I would take Seattle. But with Alex Smith, that makes a big difference. Tampa Bay on the road against the Falcons. Tampa Bay by 6 is the spread here. Road favorite, 50.5 is the over.
With Raheem Morris calling the shots there, the defense is actually playing very well for Atlanta. So give me Atlanta plus 6 in this one and give me the under.
Lockstep on the under. I'm taking Tampa. I think Tampa looks too good. Atlanta's got nothing to play for. Banged up. Julio banged up. Calvin banged up. I don't like what I'm seeing from Todd Gurley at all. How about the Jets on the road against the Rams? The Rams are 17.5-point favorites. I get it. It's a lot of points, though. 43.5 is the over. How do you see that one playing out?
Yeah, I just can't do it. I got to take the Jets, which is painful. I can't lay 2.5 touchdowns. I just can't do it. Give me the Jets and give me over that one.
I did the same thing, the Jets and the over. I mean, there's not too many teams I've seen. I think the Jets might be the worst NFL team I've ever seen. I think they're worse than the 0-16 Detroit Lions. I think Adam Gase needed to be fired 5 weeks ago. I think that they're going to get the first overall pick, and I think they are tanking on purpose. But 17.5 points is just too big a line. That's a college football line.
Yeah.
You know, that's the Buckeyes playing, Michigan State line. That's not, that one's probably 30 for real. But, you know, I think they were favored by 30 against Michigan before that game didn't play. So, but this is not a professional line. I don't like, that's way too many points. And I could still see the Rams pulling it out. The hottest team in the NFL might be the Rams right now.
You could
work team.
Cam Akers could run for 204 scores against these guys. You wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, exactly. I hope not. I don't have him anywhere. So not in any of my teams that I have left. Philly at Arizona. Arizona, a 6.5-point home favorite, 49.5, the over on that game.
Jalen Hurts changes this offense a bit, and it also slows down the game because the clock keeps ticking. Give me Philadelphia on the under in this one.
All right, I'm lockstep with you. I got Philly. I am taking the under. I think this is going to be an OU shootout, and I'll like it because OU will lose either way. So I'm with it, but I got Philly too. I think, like you said, they're a different team. They give their defense a rest with Jalen Hurts out there instead of Carson Wentz, you know, getting sacked 3 times and punting. So I like Philly as well. Kansas City at New Orleans, game of the week here. Kansas City by 3 is the line. 51.5 is the over.
Give me Kansas City and the over in this one. That's all I'm going to say. Kansas City and the over. Let's go with it.
I'm with you. Lockstep. KC and the over for me as well. So place your bets on the Saints. Cleveland at the Giants in the game. I'm not going to beg my friends to ask for a login to watch Cleveland and the Giants at all. So I'll just relax on Sunday night, I guess. I don't know what I'll do. But Cleveland is a 4.5-point favorite, 45.5. Is the over in that game? How do you see it going?
You got to imagine a little letdown after that Monday night game for Cleveland in town. The Giants are playing better. They're battling for the NFC least. So give me the Giants and the over in this one.
The Giants with Colt McCoy?
Yep, and the over. Pow, pow.
I hope you're right. Let's go. I really hope you're right. Because this game, I don't know. Pittsburgh is at Cincinnati. My favorite thing in the world, you know, is the escalator of sadness. But the Steelers are 12.5-point favorites, 40.5, lowest over of the week. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this game at all, but Steelers are playing so bad. I'll take Cincinnati on the points, but give me the over. Pittsburgh wins the game, but I just don't, they're just not dominating right now.
I took Cincinnati. I think they'll win the game, but I'm not going to say it with a ton of confidence because they have been so bad. So give me Cincinnati. Give me the under. You're taking the over in this one. When we come back, we're going to get that three-team parlay. Someone's going to hit it at some point again this year. We'll see. It hasn't been us recently, but stick with us in this league on the Sports Grid. We're right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. You hear endless love. You guys know what that means. It is the end of the three-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. We hope you guys are going to have a great holiday. Enjoy it. Hopefully you get to those ships in fantasy football. We are here for you. Hopefully it happens, and hopefully everything's great with you. Enjoy your holiday season. Enjoy your time off. Relax, watch some football, and enjoy it. Now, your three-team parlay, I'll tell you, Welsh has New England plus 1.5, so don't like that. I have the Colts by 7. You picked opposite of that one, too. So what is going to be the one that goes into the ITL parlay? Let's do that one first.
Well, I was going to use Miami, so I'll take that one off the list. I'll go Kansas City minus 3.
Kansas City. Okay, I also had that in my three-teamer, so yeah. I like that one. What are your other two?
So, yeah, Kansas City minus 3, Miami minus 1.5, and I have the Houston Colts over 51.
Houston Indy over. Okay. So, all right. So, I have Indy minus 7, Kansas City minus 3. Then I got Seattle, Washington over.
I like them.
Yeah. I like that one too. Philly, Arizona over. New England plus 1.5, and the Jets 17.5. And yours, to round it out was, and of course, my computer just freaked out here. It's Kansas City minus 3. Now, what were the other two? I'm sorry. I
Miami minus 1.5. And Indy Houston over 51.
All right. So what are you, how many season longs are you still alive in?
Two.
How many championships do you make?
I want to say one, cause I have my team, it's a keeper league. It's got a Houston stack in it. It's been carrying me. It's frustrating cause I was the 4 seed and, I have the second most points by like less than 30. I would have the most, and I face the most points. It's one of those situations. So it tilts me to no end.
Yeah. Not well, good luck in them. I have 5 alive. I mean, I did like 20 this year. I have 5 alive. I think I'm going to make it in 2. So
yeah, we have the same ratio, about 20%.
So. Yeah, exactly. So hopefully you guys win some money, win yourself some rings, some trophies, whatever it is that you guys win. Have a good holiday weekend, and take it easy, everybody. We will see you next week.